Well, good morning, fellow citizens of this great country of ours. Yes, I still think it's a great country. I mean, deep down, don't you? I mean, there's obviously there's a lot of dissension going on right now as far as what we should do next. I guess a lot of that's going to be decided in the next election. But Joe Manchin from West Virginia, my birth state, my home state is Tennessee. My birth state is West Virginia. And, you know, he had some courage to stand up for, I guess, the people who voted for him in that state. I think about 70% of them were Trump supporters. But I'm not here to discuss that. What he did do, however, was kill a proposal to that basically would have enhanced the attractiveness of buying an electric vehicle. So that's dead. The legislation was going to kick in an extra $4,500 of federal tax credit. It was $7,500, so $4,500 more, but only if the vehicle was made by a company making EVs that was unionized. And he said, this is his quote, he said, "This is wrong. This can't happen. It's not who we are as a country. It's not how we built this country. And the product should speak for itself. We shouldn't use everyone's tax dollars to pick winners. If you are a capitalist-based economy, like we are in, then you should let the product speak for itself." So anyway, it's everybody's kind of, well, not everybody, but people who watch Washington, D.C. and politics and stuff like that are fretting all over this. You know, what do we do in East Tennessee and in our homes and, you know, in our daily lives? We just go on and we keep living and adapting to whatever the circumstances are. I got my booster shot the other day. My wife and I had to run down. We wanted to get the P-Fizzer booster, or is it? I think it's Pfizer. But we had to get the Pfizer booster because, well, I don't guess we had to, because the other two shots were Pfizer's. So I just wanted to stick with the plan. I don't know about you. I didn't have any reaction to any of them. My wife did. She felt kind of bad for a day. But I never had any kind of reaction to it. But hopefully we won't have to worry about that for a while. I guess you can still get it. You know, and I'm not advocating one way or the other. I think it's up to you. If you want to wear a mask or and get a shot, or not wear a mask and not get the shot, that's your decision. We are just going to keep selling cars down here at Gateway in my Ford and Nissan dealership. Business has been really good this month, and I'm seeing that with a lot of my competitors as well. And just looking at the industry numbers, they look really good. You know, the only thing that's holding us back is availability. And that's, you know, trying to get everything that we want. We can't get enough. Our order bank just keeps filling up with orders. And that's a good thing as long as they come in, you know. And what is the time frame? I mean, how long would you be willing to wait? Let's say you decide to buy a new car today and you go into a dealership tomorrow and you order it. How long is too long to wait for a car? Now, the standard has always been 6 to 8 weeks. That was always the term that we would give customers and say this is the time frame that you can expect it to come in. And normally we were either a little early or a little late, but most of the time it's pretty accurate. So it's not that way anymore. We don't know. We don't have a clue when it's going to come in. Now, this new variant that, you know, apparently is more serious, you know, even if that, well, not more serious necessarily, but it's more contagious from what I understand. So if more people in factories that are building car parts and cars in general, if more people get COVID, then that's going to shut down some plants, and that's going to make this problem even worse from a standpoint of availability. Now, in terms of you know, as far as the performance of car dealers right now, we're not selling quite the number of cars that we did, but the transaction prices have increased. I've told you about that. just expect it, right? When you go in to the average dealership, they're not going to have any rebates available for you. One of the things that I do recommend, and you may be seeing a lot of this now in the form of direct mail pieces from dealers and from the factory, there may be some, well, from the factory, there may be some private offers coming your way. Keep your eyes open. If you're in the market, market for a vehicle, keep your eyes open in the mail for a private offer. Don't pitch it in the garbage if you think you may be in the market in the first quarter, or maybe even, I don't know how long the particular offer will be in effect for you. You just have to read the fine print. But if it says, you know, you're going to get $1,000 or $2,000, maybe it's a loyalty bonus, something like that. If you get an offer like that, then it's real. Now, if you get something from a dealer, it may not be real. I was, again, I'm watching TV this past weekend, and I saw an ad for a dealership saying so many dollars over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, which it's borderline illegal, probably is illegal because there was no price associated with the offer. You know, somebody says they're going to pay you $10,000 over book value for your trade. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, you know, anybody can say that if they don't have to give it. And that's what happens. I mean, I could go on TV right now and I could say, I'm going to pay up to $25,000 over book value for your trade. And then in the fine print, it says, does not apply to any vehicles in stock you must order, or does not apply to any of the sale price vehicles. Now, does that indicate to you that it's probably not real? If it doesn't, then I've got a bridge in Arizona. Well, maybe I shouldn't use that. There probably is a bridge in Arizona that I'd be willing to sell. Isn't London Bridge, the old London Bridge, then they moved that to Arizona? Some people say I'm crazy about saying that, but I think it's true. They did move a bridge that used to go across the Thames, spelled Thames, and they moved it to the desert. And it's there because I think the Brits were going to crush it or just let it fall into the Thames River. So now it's in Arizona. But anyway, that's a sidetrack. Let's just put it this way. If somebody says that they'll sell you a new, let's say a Silverado pickup truck for window sticker, and they're willing to give you $5,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in, then that's a real deal, okay? And you may say, well, I don't want to pay window sticker for something, folks. You know, if you're out there, now you probably get a discount on a Silverado and maybe even an F-150 and different, and, you know, we'll do what we have to rather than have somebody go somewhere else and buy one. You can get some discounts out there right now. But MSRP is the going rate pretty much right now. And if anybody tells you any different, they're not being honest. There are many, many dealers in the Tri-Cities and in the market in general that have addendum window stickers on their cars, which means that you've got a sticker beside the sticker. Now, that addendum sticker, we've talked about this in the past, and I want to explain to you what that is, what the nonsense is that's printed on it, and how you need to deal with that with a salesperson that comes up and waits on you and starts talking about it, and then the games they try to play inside. We'll get into all that here in just a minute. Okay, we are back to My Car Guru, and I'm Lenny Lawson. If you just happen to tune in, I'm a real-life car dealer with a twist. I do tell it like it is, and I'm getting ready to tell you like it is right now. So let's talk about MSRP. So what is MSRP? Manufacturer's suggested retail price. That is the label that comes on the window of every new vehicle. And, some dealers take them out before they even try to sell the cars. You're not supposed to do that. But you've got the window sticker in there, and it has the MSRP. Now, that's what the factory says that vehicle should retail for. It's not etched in stone or anything. It's just a suggestion is basically what it is. And it's consistent between every other, let's say it's, we're talking about a Ford Fusion, it's consistent with every other Ford Fusion in the country at a Ford dealer. The freight charges are the same. Yes, even if you live right or your dealership is right beside the plant, the freight charge will be the same for that dealer as it is for a dealer in Timbuktu. And so so all of it is the same. What's different is what the dealership decides to sell you that car for. That's one thing that's different. The other thing is different is if there's an addendum sticker on there. Now, what is an addendum sticker? Well, that's something that, that a dealer can use to increase the MSRP, the starting place is what we call it. So that's the starting point for buying a car, and you can increase that if you want to. There's no law against putting an addendum sticker on there. There are certain laws that relegate or that regulate what happens after that sticker goes in there and how the deal is treated inside the store. So let's just talk about what goes on that sticker. Well, let's say that the car, the dealer has installed a bicycle rack. Then that could go on that sticker. That's hard value, right? I mean, that's something real. Let's say the dealer put a spray-in bed liner on the truck. Didn't come with one from the factory, so they put, you know, $499 or $599, whatever it is, on the sticker. That's hard value. Or they changed the wheels. You know, that could, for more expensive wheels. You know, that could increase the values, what I'm trying to say. But what's that other stuff on there? Well, another thing that you'll see is something called, and they'll call it different things, but a lot of dealers just call it market value adjustment. That's something the dealer has chosen to charge, put it on the label. So let's say that he says, well, because the market is so tight, there's not much inventory, they decide they're going to slap on $3,000 on top of the window sticker. And you're seeing that a lot right now. We don't do it, but there's a lot of dealers that do. So they've got an additional $3,000 of absolutely no cost, nothing but pure margin that they're making. Is that a sin? No, it's not. It's just something you have to be prepared for when you see it, because there's no value. What they're doing is just increasing the price, the starting point of the price. Now, let's say that they put on some type of, let's say that they have a lifetime powertrain warranty. Now, we have one, but we include it in the sale price of the vehicle. Some dealers charge extra for that. They may put that on the sticker. They may put some kind of, it used to be rust proofing or a paint protection package or a key replacement. You know, these are all different things that they can put on the window sticker to justify jacking the price up. Unfortunately, most of that stuff, unless it's a hard thing like a bicycle rack, anything else is just margin for the dealer. Now, you know, if you go into the store and you're looking at a $25,000 Nissan Rogue, for example, and it's got a $3,000 supplemental or addendum sticker on it, but you're also competing with or looking at another dealership that doesn't use an addendum sticker. They just started MSRP. Now, one dealer says that the one without the addendum sticker says, we will pay you $10,000 for your trade-in. But the dealer that does use the addendum sticker, can he offer you more for your trade-in? Yes, he can. Why? Because he has additional markup. And let's say that he said, I'll give you $13,000 for your trade-in. Well, if you don't realize the difference between the starting point, one at MSRP, the other at $3,000 over MSRP, then you are duped into thinking that, well, this dealer is giving me more for my trade-in. Sounds good, doesn't it? But it's not. Now, who do you want to do business with? You know, that's what you have to decide. Do I want to do business with a dealer who jacks up the prices on their vehicles for nothing? Now, like I say, is it a sin? No. I mean, the market is tight right now. Many dealers have no idea. If they sell you a car off of their lot, let's say they have five of this particular hot model, they'll probably sell all of those this month. They don't have any idea whether they're going to get any more next month. That's just the way it is right now, but because of the chip shortage and the way the manufacturers are allocating chips to different product lines. You know, we may have, 25 Nissan Rogues this month, sell them all. Next month, we get five because they've decided to allocate chips to Sentra or to, you know, Altima or something like that. It's kind of what's going on right now. So, but these games are designed to basically keep you from shopping around. And also, I don't know, sometimes I think they're trying to confuse you. And what they try to do is say, well, don't worry about all that. It's really the monthly payment that matters, right? If somebody says that to you, run. Just run. Get back to your car, jump in, and leave. Don't even say bye. But the truth is, 80% of you will not run. You'll just sit there and say, well, if you can get it to $450 a month, I'll buy it, without any idea what you're paying for the car. So you just have to watch out for that. And then, I heard one dealer that we were competing against, they had shopped at a dealership in the Tri-Cities, came to Greenville to see what we would do. And they said, well, they had shopped at us first, and the dealership where they were at said, well, they don't mark up their vehicles. They don't put an addendum sticker on it. They just get you in the finance office. And they were talking about me, and that just hurt my feelings. But anyway, that's not true. When you buy a car and you get a deal on the front, you do have to pay attention to, because you will be presented with the opportunity to buy things in a finance office. Things like, you know, different kind of protection packages to protect your wheels and protect your paint. And if your car gets stolen, you know, gap insurance to help pay any kind of deficiency. If the insurance company doesn't pay off what you owe on your car, that's what gap insurance is for. Service contracts, you know, something to protect your vehicle once the warranty runs out. You will be presented with the opportunity to buy those things. The key is not to pay too much for those things and to not let the dealership pack them onto your payment that they've already closed you on out on the floor. So, for example, if you decide to buy a car for $450 a month and you sign out outside or out in the showroom, I'll buy the car for $450 a month. Then you go into the finance office and you sit down and then the finance manager says, oh, by the way, congratulations, because included in that $450 a month is a service contract for 7 years, 120,000 miles, and gap insurance. And you say, oh, boy, that's great. I didn't know that was included in that. That's called payment packing, and it's illegal in all 50 states. I don't know if it's illegal in Puerto Rico, but it's or Guam, but it's definitely illegal in all 50 states. And it is a way that unscrupulous dealers make additional money on unwitting customers when they come in. You know, in the finance office, there are a lot of good people working in the finance office, and most dealerships do not pack payments, but there are some that do, and there are some right here in the Tri-Cities that do. You just need to be aware of it. You know, what most people, though, when they get into the finance office, and they thought, well, I listened to my car guru, and they said you're not supposed to put that in there. You know, the buyer still won't leave. They'll just get, you know, the dealership, well, you're probably right. Let's knock off another $25 a month. You're still paying too much. So these are things that you will learn on this radio show. I wish I could get all outgoing seniors in high school to come to Gateway and let me give them a tour of a dealership and just give them a lesson on credit and on payments and on buying cars, because, you know, it's probably the second largest purchase that a person will ever make, the average person. Now, you know, most of you out there might spend a lot more money on other things, swimming pools, landscaping. You know, your house is probably the most expensive thing that an average person will buy. The car is probably the second most. And, of course, I'm not going to say that people don't pay too much for houses. I mean, houses are really high right now, and I know that. But you don't buy a house based on the monthly payment alone. I know it's a factor. It was a factor when I bought my house. I wanted to make sure I could afford the payment. But that can't be the sole. I mean, you don't know what you're paying for something if you don't know what you're paying for it, right? All right, we'll take our last break. Be back here in just a minute. So do me a favor if you're buying a car or trying to buy a car. Figure out, especially if it's a new car, what's the MSRP on the vehicle? What, if any, rebates are being applied? Because there may be some out there. Subtract that from what the trade difference is, what they're telling you that you have to pay between your trade-in and the selling price on the car. Find out what the trading difference is, and then subtract the two. That is what you're getting for your trade-in. Anything over MSRP is fluff, is additional margin. Now, if you want to see if you're getting a good deal, then you got to compare apples and apples, not apples and pineapples. It's so important for you to be smart about that. Then figure out, you know, what interest rate are you paying? What is the term? You know, lots of times they will cut the payment, and you think, because they're deceptive, you think that they have actually cut the price. All they've done is extended the term. They've gone from 72 months to 84 months, and you fell for it. Now, some dealerships or some finance companies will allow them to go 1 month extra, you know, however many months they need. They'll let you bump it 3 months or 6 months or whatever. Again, how did you get to that lower payment, Mr. Salesperson? Did you increase the term? You know, find out. Pay attention. These things matter. You'll learn that and more listening to this radio show. I do appreciate your attention. And again, if you need me on a more personal level, you can feel free to call my cell phone. It's 423-552-2020. That's my real cell phone. And my email address is LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. And I'll be glad to coach you, even if you're buying a Studebaker. Good luck finding one, though. But if it's a Hyundai or a Kia or a Honda or Toyota, you might need some help, especially if you don't have anybody to take with you that knows the details of this and how it works. But I do, and I'll be glad to help you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.